Do you have a Der McDonald?
Das McDonald's? Yeah, we have it. It's McCafe, but yeah.
Do they have Wiener Schnitzel there?
That would be in Austria.
Okay, do they have...
Wiener. I'm going to give you a little history lesson here, okay. A little language lesson. Oh. Wiener means from Vienna.
And that's not in Germany.
No, it's in Austria. South Germany.
Okay, all right.
So that's what that means. Wien is the German word for Vienna, and from Vienna means like Wiener. So Wiener Schnitzel isn't that's not even a thing.
What about Wiener being a funny way of pronouncing Wiener?
Also Austrian.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 326 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam Vancouver.
Is that the proest open we've done?
No.
Fifth proest open?
Yeah.
That we've done?
Yeah.
Tied for fifth.
Top five, yeah.
Definitely tied for fifth. Adam... Oh, man. Has it stopped raining in Vancouver?
Wait. What? Yeah, yes. The answer is yes. Two sunny days in a row, or sunny-ish days. So the answer is yes. But I can't believe 326 and no, you know, numerology kind of explanation here.
Because why?
Well, 3 times 2 is 6. Like, that's, you're the numbers guy. I thought for sure that would be something...
No, that's not a thing.
Okay.
Because 212, I would 212. I got you.
But okay.
326. I hear what you're saying. That never occurred to me. It's not really a number.
Okay.
It's a number. I mean, it's not a prime number. Obviously, it's even. But other than that, it's like
It's an equation.
Yeah, I guess. Suppose.
Okay. Back to the weather.
25
out of 29 days rained in March.
I've heard that this is like, and meanwhile, over here, it has been ridiculous. Like, so much so that we had to go inside. It's been so hot. Like, but not really that it's that hot. Like, it's nice and warm. It's crazy great weather. Phenomenal weather. It's just that a few days ago, you know, it was zero. Now it's 22. So that there's no decompression there. Like, you're just, bam, you have the bends.
Here's how I am. I think it's, I'm about, this is how I am about the weather, but I think this is how I am about everything. I have a super short memory. So when right. when I heard on the news, they're talking about, you know, record breaking, precipitation in March in Vancouver and 25 out of 29 days raining. And I had a day and a half of decent weather. All I can remember is that it's nice out, and yeah, I guess it rained a bit. And even all the snowfall that we had, it seems like it's so long ago and such a distant memory that I guess, but I think, I don't think I'm alone that way. I think most people are that way. It's like, what is it doing right now?
No, you and Guy Pearce from Memento. why am I chasing this guy? He's chasing me.
Yeah, exactly like that. But I'm also, I think I'm also the same way about photography in that, you know, I could take 50 bad pictures and one good picture, and I really only
be a hero.
I'm the greatest photographer alive. I'm kind of my own biggest fan.
You have to be.
Yeah,
that's great. So it is. So it's been sunny and warm now. So essentially, you're living in Palm Desert at this point.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great. No, because I heard on the news, it's, you know, world records for worst March in the history of marches.
Okay.
And so I thought, oh man, I feel bad for you guys, especially since, you know, we had a bad stretch, but now it's just been like crazy. It's zero in the morning. Like, I wake up, take the kids to kindergarten. Not in that order. In that order, but like there's a big gap in there, actually.
Okay, you do other stuff.
I just wake up and then, yeah. But point is, when we go to kindergarten in the morning, it's usually 0 to 1 degrees. Like, it's really cold. And then in the afternoon, we're out in shorts, and it's 22. So it's phenomenal.
Right.
So I was feeling a little bit bad for the people of Vancouver. That's all. Okay. That's all I'm getting at.
We're okay. We pulled through.
Amazon. You know what? It's really hot. You know what you need?
What?
A hat.
Okay.
Get a hat. I have been buying an absurd amount of hats.
Hmm.
For the kids. It's the kids, and then now it's bled over into... Because what do you get for kids? For birthdays and stuff? Like, everybody has everything now, right?
Pretty much.
So I've been looking for hats, baseball hats for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
In North America, dime a dozen. Easy to find.
Yes.
You can buy them at 7-Eleven if you want.
Sure.
Here, not so much. They have two, and they're terrible. And so I found them on Amazon, found some decent hats, and they're about $5, delivered to the door, a decent kid hat, whatever the material is, the cotton or whatever it is.
Sure.
With an initial, one letter embroidered on the hat, like and pretty well done.
Why?
They just do it. They just like, hey, do you want A to Z? Like, A, what do you want? Do you want one? And I was like, well, I don't want blank. I don't care if it's blank or not, but they don't have blank. Which letter do you want? So I was like, well, I'll go with, my kids' names.
Sure.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then the kids love them.
But then do you like opt for three letters for Sam, or you just give him the S?
No, he just gets the one hat. It's not custom. It's like you can pick one out of 26 options.
Right. So, but that's embroidered on the back of the hat.
No, on the front. Team.
Okay.
He's on Team S.
Okay. Okay.
That's what he's on.
Okay.
Seattle for him.
Sure.
My daughter is on, I don't know. Is there a team in Edison, New Jersey? I don't know.
Sure.
But she's on that team.
The E team.
Yeah, the E team. Anyway, so I got those, and then all of a sudden it became, first of all, it became a great story on the podcast.
Yeah, that was...
This is riveting. Yeah. Everyone's like, man, I'm going to pause because I don't want this to end just yet. This is so good.
Yeah, I'm waiting for how this comes around.
Well, no, but it ends up, so now my wife sees him and thinks, well, this could be like we have, friends who's kids at the same age with birthdays coming up, we'll get them. Yeah, that could be their birthday present, because what did we get them? So now I've ordered like 11 of these on Amazon. The guy at Amazon must think I'm insane.
Yeah.
Ordering these like 12 different hats with different letters on them.
Well, I remember when we used
but
to...
I clicked through our site, though.
Oh, okay, that's where you're going. I was just, yeah. I get it, and you bookmarked it and all that, and mm-hmm. Yeah. But you like to, you're into the letter thing, because I remember barbecues, you would often make the kid's burger in the first letter of their name.
I still do.
So this is kind of like, this goes with your whole initial motto, which is
true.
All children love their first initial and therefore should eat it and wear it.
I have gotten, I wouldn't say lazy, but I do phone it in now because my kids like eggs.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to make the eggs into an S, but I will put the ketchup in an S, Sam.
Sure.
He loves it. Yeah. That one's phoning it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I never made the connection between the burgers and the hat, but yeah, you're right.
Now it's like, here you go, burger and a hat. Happy birthday.
But starting next week, it's going to be a flood of kids wearing their initials on their hat.
Nice.
And then one kid, just because I'm a jerk, I'm going to get him the wrong one. And then just be like, oh, what's your name? Even though I've known him for like 5-6 years now.
Right.
Just pick one kid, give him a complex. Go, yeah, you're not memorable.
Yeah, perfect.
What do you still do? It's your birthday? Oh, okay. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It got dark.
Yeah.
Amazon, though, click through our site, help us out. That's what I'm getting at. What's going on? What's going on? We have the phenomenal weather's already been through.
My teeth got pulled.
Yes. How did the wisdom teeth go? I saw a picture.
They got pulled. Yeah, my wife sent you an iPhone image from the day of the surgery. So with mm-hmm. a little bit of puffy face, although they gave me meds to kind of keep the swelling down. So it wasn't too bad. It more or less was pretty smooth sailing. I didn't have any issues. And now all the little dissolvable stitches are all coming apart in my mouth now. So that's lovely. But other than that, everything kind of back to business as usual. I'm eating real food again. So that part is awesome.
Like fruit roll-ups?
Yeah. Yeah. And Sour Patch Kids and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like an adult.
Skittles. But yeah, not a big deal. I was going to do like a proper lit, like, you know, chubby chipmunk face photo of myself, but then it seemed like too much effort. And
nobody cares.
So exactly. Nobody cares, including me. So yeah. that's where that idea ended.
And how was Saskatoon?
Saskatoon.
That was me. I admit I just mix up stories. I had my wisdom teeth and went to Saskatoon.
Oh, okay.
Two different stories.
Yeah. No, it was fine. And yeah.
Enjoyed it?
Yeah.
It's the Paris of the prairies.
Right. Sure.
That's what I hear. That's awesome.
Oh, I had an interesting photography conversation the other day.
We'll decide.
Okay, well, I found it interesting. I had a patient, so this is in my other life as a physiotherapist, who we were just chatting, as we do when I'm doing treatment, and he was telling me that he had a seven-month-old baby, and I said, have you learned how to take photos yet? And he said, that's interesting. Like, you know, my wife and I were talking about that very thing. She, you know, we have this camera. We bought it like for our honeymoon, like a little high-end point-and-shoot camera, like a Canon, whatever. Like, pick a middle-of-the-road Canon point-and-shoot.
F11.
Yeah, and we haven't used it a whole bunch other than on the honeymoon. But we thought, oh, we should really learn how to use this camera, because now we got a seven-month-old and we want to take these pictures. And my wife saw some Groupon that was like for $30, like, you know, come take a little class and we'll teach you all the basics of your camera. And what do you think my reply was?
Buy two of them.
Buy in
take
bulk.
Me. Take me, man. I could learn a thing or two. You said, don't bother.
That's what I did say. Now I'm second guessing myself, but no, I said, don't bother. I said, you know, all this info is for free, and there's a podcast where you can learn this.
All you have to do is, if you hit play now and don't ever stop, in 2 years,
yeah,
you'll know everything.
Yeah. So anyways.
Not so free.
But then, you know, it got me to thinking, and I was sort of chatting amongst a couple of patients, and I said, you know, as far as if you were having a friend that's having a kid, like, I think of it in terms of kids, because I mean, we talk about, you know, all how important, you know, our kids are and how it changes your life and blah, blah, blah. But as far as like one skill to learn when you have a newborn that you will never look back on and say, oh man, I can't believe I wasted a bunch of time learning that.
Vomit deflection.
Yeah. Vomit deflection, you know, and learning how to take a half decent photo. Not that you need to be, you know, exceptionally amazing. I mean, that's great, but just learning how to take a decent photo and learning the basics of, you know, exposure and composition and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The best thing I probably learned, as far as, you know, the memories and all that stuff. I mean, and now I've got a house filled with nice photos as a result of just learning that. And it's one of those things that I tell people, like, don't wait till your kids are 4 or 5. Like, you're not going to care less about them by the time they're 8, right? Like, you're pretty much done with them by then.
Yes,
so
right.
You got to get to it early. You got to get to it when they're babies, while they're cute.
That's right, because they're going to get awkward.
Yeah, they're going to be
bad looking. I mean, if assuming they're not adopted.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So
true. No, you're absolutely right. That's probably the biggest thing, besides the vomit deflection, of course. But I can't imagine. I mean, you had very little time. Like, when how old were your kids when we started the podcast?
It was
Jack
before.
Two?
No, I think wasn't it? Yeah, I was gonna say he was 2 or less.
Right.
So, well, because he's 8 now, so he just turned 8.
Sure.
So six
so
years.
Less than 2. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
In my head, he was like 13. Like, it's funny how time works, and until you have your own kids, and then it's game on.
Right.
But yeah, so you didn't have a ton of time. being bad at photography.
No.
So that's good. I mean, that's a good thing. And so I can't even imagine, and not even because, oh man, like you got to have like just art on the wall. It's so it's a rabbit hole. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole today.
Okay. We don't have to. I just thought it was an interesting conversation.
Did he start listening?
Well, I don't know. That was just yesterday, so maybe. Oh, okay. Maybe he's listening.
I saw a huge uptick in our numbers today.
Okay.
So yeah, probably. Yeah, probably Bob with a pulled hamstring. Yeah.
Started listening.
Yeah, he gang mass downloaded all of them.
Yeah.
He's going on a road trip. We still get the occasional email about that. Yeah, I went on a road trip. Listen to you guys. Coast to coast. Really?
Yeah.
Coast to coast.
I feel like there are probably some better things you could have been doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like swerving your car into oncoming traffic. Would have been probably a better option. Oh, boy. So dark today.
Yeah. Not me.
No, just me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of not dark... My son, because it's you know, we had the daylight savings finally, and also it's staying light out later here. He has decided now. Well, it's not dark out. I'm not going to bed.
Okay. Why would That's he?
His, no, he's it's in his head. He's just like, yeah. It's not. No, Dad. I can still see it's light out. So wrong.
What are we doing?
Get cable. I'm up. All right. Yeah. So I've had to admit, we've never installed curtains in his room. That's the other thing too, is because we have our upstairs is all gabled, like in the roof. So all the windows are there, like none of them are square.
Right.
So it's all these kind of weird, I don't know, parallelograms for all I care.
Sure.
A couple of them are rhombuses, rhombi.
Why not?
Yeah, I suppose. And so you can't just do curtains or blinds, like it's a problem. So I just kind of never did. That was my solution, was just never doing it. And up until a week ago, it was fine. But now he's, no, I'm gonna need curtains, Dad. So I've been getting my slide rule out and doing all kinds of geometry up there. Spent the week trying to hang curtain rods on weird situations.
And?
Not done yet.
Okay, keep us posted.
Let you know, I'm doing all right.
Okay.
I'm doing all right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I had some good advice from a guy who has his own TV show about building. So, Mr. Carolla gave me some advice.
Great.
On what to do. So I'm following that advice, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, I was kind of down and out with the teeth, so
yeah.
I didn't get to go to the gym. I basically worked and iced my face. That's what I did for the last week. So there was zero photos at all.
Icing your face.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's it. How about you? You're going to have to carry the mail on this.
I did a little bit, actually. I almost didn't.
Okay.
I went a good portion of the week not doing anything interesting. And then today, my kids went to T-ball again.
Yeah.
I say again, my son went like 2 weeks ago for the first time. My daughter did not want to go. And then this week she was into it. She said, forget it. She wants to go. So both my kids went this week, and she actually brought one of her friends and two of her friends actually. So a bunch of us went, and so I snapped a bunch of photos. And it was outside because we've had nice weather, so no point in going into the gym.
Right.
And so we went to the field, and so this is her first ever T-ball practice, which was, you know, pretty exciting for Dad. And so I took a bunch of pictures, narrowed it down to, I don't know, a few dozen. more a lot of them for her friend, like her friend and her friend and her friend's brother, you know, for their parents. I said, make sure I take pictures for them too.
Right.
So divide it by four. It's probably, you know, 10 pictures of each kid. Less than that. Eight pictures of each kid. Anyways, so I posted one here. Here she is with her e-hat, you can see.
Yeah.
And taking a big rip at the ball. So big proud dad of T-ball kids.
Yeah.
So that was it. Shot a bunch of that stuff. And then another highlight. It was a big week for highlights because... Down in my office, And my daughter comes in and says, "Daddy, you got to come upstairs." All right, is everything okay? Yeah, get your camera and come upstairs. So I go upstairs, and on the way up, she says, "I saw some really nice light, and you have to take a picture."
Okay.
All right. So I wander, we go into her room, and sure enough, there's the picture of her in the golden light. That was the light.
Nice.
That was the light, the setting sun coming in, peeking in through her window, creating that effect. And she just recognized it and said, "Dad, you got to take a picture." And wow. He posed for me and everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was thrilled, just thrilled, because I try to point it out, like, you know, for a couple of few years now, whenever we see a nice sunset, I'll say, "Hey, look at that. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Like, what colors do you see?" And she'll pick them all out. And so now she notices when there's nice light. So very, 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 very proud dad this week.
Okay. She should have taken a picture of you in that spot.
Well, yeah. We did a selfie right after that. And then she washed my car with a rock. So, you know.
It evened out.
The week evened out. Yeah, it was a push. It was a push. So are you out of Seattle stories?
I probably could muster.
I thought
something.
We saved a few, but I don't want to hear anymore.
Yeah, no, I can't remember where we left off and what I did and didn't talk about. I did print a couple of the photos though. I printed.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it, but I mentioned it on Instagram that how awesome it is to teach your significant other how to use back button focus, because I took one photo, or I didn't take it. My wife took one photo of me with the kids in the Space Noodle.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the photo. And so I'm in no photos basically in the last 5 years, right. Unless it's a big family run-in or something like that. But every once in a while, I like to be in a photo, and with the kids at the top of the Space Needle, I thought, "Oh, this is a good opportunity." So I just handed my wife the camera, and of course, you know, it's back button focus, so she knows what to do, and snapped the photo, and I loved it. And so I got it printed.
That is wildly important. Is not just to embrace back button focus, which you should. It will change your game.
Yes.
Teach your significant other to use the back, because otherwise you are completely out of luck.
Yes.
Not even out of luck, but you are the most arrogant, correct person there could be. Because I've done that with people. They say, "Oh yeah, here, let me take your photo." I'm like, "I'm not, like, really, you can't."
Yeah, I know.
No, I can do it. I can do it. Like, listen. You can't. You could, if we spend the next 25 minutes showing you, I could teach you, and then you'd be good for life.
Yeah,
I'm not going to.
The other part that I have berated my wife enough times that now I don't have to any longer mention it is headroom. Like, those are those two things. I basically, you know, I've had to kind of take her through and say, "See how my photo looks? See how your photo looks?
Yeah.
What's different about these two photos?" Yeah. And then she's like, "It's the giant amount of space above the heads, right?" I'm like, "Yes, that's the thing." And so now she's very aware of it. I've had to really kind of reprimand her on several occasions, but now that's not even an issue. So composition, back button focus, and then the rest you can just kind of set it and then hand it over, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The time I got burned, I would say the worst, because it wasn't the end of the world, but was we were in Italy last year, and I was in Italy last year, and we just finished interviewing Enzo Ferrari's son, and the director wanted a photo with Enzo, with his son Piero Ferrari. I said, "Yeah, no problem, I'll snap a photo." Well, the director of photography, the guy I was working for, he wanted a photo with Piero Ferrari, so I snapped a photo. It's my camera, right? Snapped a photo. And I thought, probably this opportunity is only going to come up for me 3 to 4 times a year from now on, right? Like, how often?
Yeah, not more than that.
So I'm in the repair, like the garage, the restoration facility for the old time Ferraris with Enzo Ferrari's son. So I'm like, "Yeah, I'll snap a photo." So I hand my camera to the DP. who's going to snap a photo for me. And I said, listen, hey, man, do you know about back button focus? Oh, yeah, yeah, of course, mate. Fires off the photo. I'm like, oh, awesome. Me and Piero Ferrari. As we're, you know, like, Piero Ferrari leaves. He has to head off and be old somewhere. And the DP turns to me and says, what did you mean by back button focus? I was like, so no then. The answer was no, you don't know. It's okay. You don't have to know. You should know. But if you don't just go, yeah, got it. So I have the picture, and it's soft. Like it's clearly out of focus.
Right.
Which is probably an oxymoron, right?
Yeah.
But, and he actually felt bad. Oh, sorry, mate, sorry. And I said, like, it's fine. Like, what am I, was I going to frame it? You know, we're okay. You know, basically it was just, all it was to put on Facebook and prove that I'm better than most of the people I went to high school with.
Right.
It's like, hey, how many of you were not zero? Zero. Just me, huh? Wow.
Yeah. I'm awesome.
1-0, losers. That's what it was for. So it's in focus enough for that, so let's move on.
Okay.
But, yes, teach your spouse, significant other, back button focus. It'll pay off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. Photo challenge then.
Okay.
It was the monthly photo challenge for March, and that was shallow depth of field.
Wow. It's that time, eh?
It's that time. So I once again, I have zero faith in your Instagram abilities.
Okay. I've been Instagramming.
But do you know how to enter a search in, though?
Sure I do.
You should. Yeah, you sure. You don't.
I think I do.
There's no way you entered a hashtag and screened through all the hoser photos.
I did. I actually looked. I didn't do it in the last 3 days, but I did it about a week ago, and I saw a whole bunch.
Okay, the good news is then, for me, is that I'm going to stop doing the screen grabs because it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Okay, yeah, no, I actually know how to do it. So let's. There might be a couple that I haven't seen, but I did.
That's completely reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, what did you like? I mean, shallow depth of field. What were some of the listener photos that stuck out to you, or one maybe or none? I don't know.
In terms of my favorite.
Yeah. What'd you like? Or not like? Hey, call somebody out. I don't care.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing to call somebody out. I'm just scrolling through because there's a couple that I haven't seen. I like the flower one.
The flower one.
It's like a purple flower with a green stem. It's very simple. It's got like the yellow pollen. It's in bloom. It's very shallow. It's got really kind of nice bokeh in the back.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it looks like it's probably a macro lens is my guess.
I'm going to look through her. Yeah, macro. She's hashtag macro.
Okay, there you go. So I really like that. I'm looking at some of the people photos, and not one really stands out amongst the others. They're all okay, but I don't see anything that's mind blowing. I like the frog. The frog one's nice. I like that. I like the mushroom. There's one with a mushroom in a field where it's all green and just sort of the white mushroom that stands out. And I like the foreground out of focus as well, because we tend to typically just think of shallow depth of field as sort of background out of focus, right?
We do.
And I really like the foreground and background out of focus of that. It might not be a mushroom. Maybe I'm making that up.
I think it's a mushroom. It looks like a mushroom to me.
Looks like a mushroom.
And hashtag mushrooms.
I like the photo, actually, now that I'm looking at them all again, I like the photo of the little girl in the window light with the sort of slats and
The part that makes that photo to me is the slats going out of focus.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just all of a sudden the background's gone. There's that gradual, and then the nice expression on her face, of course.
And just the nice kind of fall off of the light. Like, it's just, that's a nice photo. That reminds me of lots of photos like that we take using window light. So I like that.
I like the ladybug myself.
Ladybug's nice, yeah.
Because a nice little anchor to that to an otherwise photo. Like it's fine. It's good. Like it's one of those things that if you do it, it's hey, it's pretty cool. But you're not standing out amongst other photographers,
right?
Amongst your iPhone friends, obviously you are. But the Ladybug really makes that one work. I appreciate the Dos Equis one.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at right now. I agree.
Yeah,
I like to the composition and the way the sunset's coming through the tab on the can.
Yep. But the one that I like I actually there was one for me was a clear favorite. Is a very very imperfect shot. Dr. Hayes, he took a photo of his daughter on the swing.
Yeah, she's
out of focus.
Okay, I'm going to look at that one again because it didn't initially strike me as anything.
It did to me because I've taken a lot of photos of my daughter on a swing, and it's hard to do something that is visually interesting. A swing is just kind of like you can. There are ways to do it that really make make it interesting, but it's a lot of not interesting on a swing. You know, it's a weird thing, and so this one I really like. I and part of it is the imperfection of it. It's like he missed focus. The depth of field is so narrow that he gave himself. I say him. A doctor could be a woman.
Sure.
Yeah, they gave themselves such little margin for error that it was very easy for them to miss focus. But it's okay. Like, we still get what's going on. I still like it. The way her hair is kind of flying around. This one was a clear winner for me.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I wouldn't have picked it, but I for the reasons you describe, it's perfectly fine.
Mm.
Yeah.
It doesn't scream shallow depth of field either until you look deep and go, well, yeah, it actually is shallow depth of field.
Yeah.
So... there you go. So thanks to everybody for tagging your photos and submitting them. We appreciate that.
Sure.
And for this week, our submissions. I found this challenge very challenging. It's right in the name, challenge. That's the point. This was the hardest one for me so far.
Like, really?
Not even so far. I bet for the year.
Really?
Really hard.
Too wide open? Is that why?
I don't know. I think because I wanted to do a photo that really shouted shallow depth of field. Without the photo being about being a shallow depth of field, which is a ridiculous tightrope to have to walk. But I really wanted it. I wanted there to be no question that, oh, yeah. He was shooting wide open on that one. You know, and it works. There's no other way you could shoot that photo. But I don't really shoot that way. I don't shoot everything to just, all right, let's blow that background out. As we discussed probably a couple weeks ago, I've moved on from that a long time ago. And my photos, I think they have a nice depth of field normally.
Mm-hmm.
But not extreme by any means. And so that was really tough to do. And so I kept doing it. I kept going to the Brennizer method. That's where you shoot multiple images and stitch them together.
Right. We talked about it last time just because I had done a photo from the glass museum with that technique.
And you nailed it.
Did you like it?
And yeah, that was very good, yeah. But since then, I have shot... Well, your Brennizer method was more so about you couldn't get wide enough.
Yeah.
So I needed to get wide. One of the other way, you know, cool things about the method, again, that I invented after him,
mm-hmm.
Is that you get crazy, crazy narrow depth of field as if you're shooting a large or a medium format camera from just a regular lens. And so I kept trying to do that, and I could not stop failing. Like, just the images would not stitch together.
Okay.
Brutal. So in the end, I decided to just do one manually. And so that's my submission, is the six images. That clearly is six images. There's, you know, I'm not fooling you. But it does make up a full image, and you can see the depth of field. So it is my friend Clarence, the baseball photo. That's my submission. Over to you.
Gotcha.
Yeah, over to you. Go.
Like, as far as the critique?
Sure.
I don't have any critique. Like, I like the photo.
Is it?
Yeah.
I kind of like how it turned out.
Yeah, it's good. So, and it's interesting, and it's different, and it doesn't have to stitch together. You broke some rules here, but it's appealing to the eye. So, good job. No. Well, absolutely.
This was out of desperation, though. I mean, like, this was, I tried to stitch it together seamlessly so that you would not know.
Yeah, I probably like it better this way, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think so. Versus if it was just a stitched together perfect image, I think this is cool looking, and I think you're onto something here. So I'm not.
This is how I started the Brennheiser myth.
I'm not sure how.
Again, after he invented it, he said, "Hey, you can talk about it whenever you want," because we interviewed him on the show,
right?
And he said, "Yeah, go ahead and talk about it," but every time you say you invented it, you have to say after me,
right?
He's really stickler about that.
I think that, you know, maybe there's a cool application of this to, like, a baseball card, like a series of this, you know, just because it's attention grabbing in a way that your brain has to do a little bit of figuring out here to realize what's actually going on. So I don't know, like, you know how Upper Deck once in a while kind of throws a curveball and does something totally different. This could be a series of baseball cards for the Tubingen Hawks. Now, it might be more work than you're looking for, but
this is surprisingly not.
Okay, well then do it, because it's super cool looking, and yeah, I like it. So I don't know how you can better explain it. You've kind of taken six different photos and pieced them together, but they're all overlaid and slightly off. And I don't know what else it is, but I can honestly say I don't think I've seen anybody else do it like this. So yeah, maybe you can lay claim to this technique and call it the
there's a guy in the Czech Republic who does it.
Yeah, he does it, and the Huffington Post has already written an article about it.
They love him.
Super, super cool. So people should check that out. So yeah, you should post that on Instagram so they know what we're talking about, because there isn't another photo that I've seen that looks quite like this.
Well, Jan Halavek, don't steal this one.
Yeah, don't. Please, okay. Jan. He's stealing it right now.
He's in the process of it. He's even using Clarence, too. I know it.
There you go.
Come on, get your own player.
Did you think I was not going to like it, or
No. I have no clue. I mean, it is just like a little background on this. I shot it with the 40D and the 30mm lens strictly because this was yesterday. I took this yesterday at practice, in between rounds of batting practice. We hit in groups of three, and so when it's either I'm hitting, or Clarence is hitting, or the other guy is hitting. And so while the third guy's hitting, I quickly said, "Hey man, it's like you can see in the background there, that's the batting cage."
Yeah.
Or the tunnel, or whatever you want to call it, like at home plate. And so we're hitting live on the field, and I said, "All right, man, hey, it's picture day." So I had brought my backpack to the batting cage strictly for this purpose. Just hey, I need to snap a photo, because we practiced late in the evening, nice looking sun, great light. And so I snapped it, and then I guess just the perspective of being that in close with a 30mm lens, it lent itself to just not lining up to do it. And so I said, you know what, that's it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to save this and do the piece together myself manually. And it became this. So and the cool thing is you can have fun with this. Like if you shoot with this ahead of time, which I've done, like I've actually used this. This is not a new thing for me. I've done this many, many years ago, 8-9 years ago. And if you, while shooting, you know, you basically, you know, rotate the camera slightly here on every different shot. Not the images don't come in all straight like that. Like you could they come in on different angles as you line them up, and it looks it's a pretty cool effect.
Yeah, so. And I like the fact that you've included sort of the outline of each image so that, you know, it is distinctly clear in your mind what's going on.
Right.
Versus if you didn't do that, I don't think it would work.
No.
No. Not for my brain anyway, so.
All right, so I did include a couple of alternatives of my daughter, but we'll just skip those because I don't need them now.
Yeah, you don't need them, and they're not particularly great.
No, they aren't. No, they aren't. They were the backup this morning.
So I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad you went with this because this is much better. Yeah.
All right. So here we go. Let's have a look at your picture. That's Jack White on guitar.
That's right. Just loving it, like grooving it at the Museum of Pop Culture in Seattle.
Does he want to play?
He liked playing because that's a real electric guitar, all hooked up to the amps and everything. So he was.
Whose guitar was it?
Oh, it wasn't anything. They had like a soundstage area where. He basically played the drums, he played the electric guitar. There's two electric guitars. You actually have a jam room here. It's all sealed off, and you could have three people jamming together, and you basically punch a little timer for 15 minutes and just go in there and jam.
Really?
Yeah, it's super cool. So he was first on the...
Do you think the members of like Foo Fighters ever walk in and be like, all right, we got this?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. So
speaking of Seattle.
So I like that he looks pretty legit, other than, you know, where his right hand is kind of like, what where are you going to strum with, man? But maybe he was just doing a power strum and he just finished down there. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and just, I like the pose as far as, you know, he's looking down as one would, as opposed to staring at the camera. There is one where he's looking at the camera and I tossed it cause I'm like, no. It's not. That's not what you're doing. You're in the moment here. So this was a shallow depth of field by the mere fact that we were in the dark. I had no flash. This room is very dimly lit, and I had to be at a, I don't know if it's a 1.8 or a 1.4 on a 50 mil lens, and I'm cranked to the max ISO I can go on that camera. So I'm at an ISO 1600, which I can't go any higher on that camera. And then I also... you know, need to have some kind of shutter speed. So I can't imagine this shutter speed is much more than 1/60th of a second. So I'm basically at the max capabilities on in every direction here. And thankfully it was enough light to get a decent exposure. So
right.
And then that's little bit of noise cancellation and Lightroom
and black and white.
Yeah, and liked in black white. The colors are kind of weird and bluey and yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And I mean it definitely is like if not for that little, those little lights in the top left corner, you would have no idea on depth. Well, you would have some idea on depth of field because the foreground, as you said earlier, we always think of depth of field as the background. But his left hand being out of focus would tip us. But I don't think we'd notice, and except for that, those little lights in the background that say, yeah, this is definitely a shallow depth of field.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I thought I was kind of like, yeah, it is technically very shallow depth of field, but you're right. Yeah, you don't necessarily, you wouldn't be aware of it if not for those little lights. So I was happy that those lights were there just to make it included in the photo challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice top light, that nice little hair light on him.
Like, yeah.
Very sitcom-y now. Like everyone for TV shows lit like that. Everyone's got a nice hair light.
And
so
I,
it's good.
I did get this printed at Costco today. So, and the print in black and white looks really good. So
nice.
Just for his room. Like there's certain pictures that I like to get printed for the kids and just put them up in their room. Just no frame or anything. Just basically right up on the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
All right. That was the monthly challenge. Next month's monthly challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Been thinking about it, and just I guess because I struggled so much, and I want to go with my favorite next week.
Okay,
pictures of me.
Okay,
no. My favorite, I think you're going to agree on this one, is window light.
Perfect.
And that has nothing to do with the fact that like this, I actually chose this before my daughter said, "Hey, Daddy, I see some nice light," because that was. Window light, but if you submit that, I'm not going to believe you.
Right.
But window light, as we've talked about, I'm sure we've done a whole episode on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe even more than one.
I'm sure. It comes up a lot. It is definitely my favorite kind of shooting style situation. So that's what will be for April is window light.
Okay, we expect millions of submissions.
Don't say plural. Like million is reasonable.
Okay.
You know, So once you go over there, we're good if that's the case. Topic this week. I sat down with a friend of yours,
yeah,
friend of the show, Dwayne Gervan. He has started. We've been to a couple of his workshops. I've been to one. You've been to a couple.
Yeah, I think I've been to two or three. I think three. Sure. Maybe, yeah.
Where he puts on the workshops, you go and shoot the models and the fog machine, and there's javelin, pole vaulting. It's a pretty amazing time. But if you want to learn how to shoot with models really in a really really condensed time frame, that's the place to go. But meanwhile, in the last, I guess, 6 months. Has it been 6 months?
I think even maybe a little longer, but something like longer. That. Yeah.
6-8 months. He started his own magazine, which is really quite cool. He saw a niche. He's like something that he likes to do, and turns out a lot of people like, is this sort of retro pinup style photography. And so he and his business partner, a girl named Heather, put together something called BC Bombshells, which is a actual print magazine that you can buy. You can buy it online or in print. If you're going to buy it, I recommend getting it in print, of course. And it's all about pinup photography. And so we sat down with Dwayne and Heather and talked all about their magazine. So with us, I probably did it on the show with Adam, and then we lead into this. So so with us is I don't know Heather's last name.
Kolpitz.
With us is Heather Kolpitz, Dwayne Gervan. Dwayne, you know from the show past episodes. Adam and I have been to a couple of his workshops shooting models. What more do we need to know about you, Dwayne?
No, that's about it. There's not much more. I just have a camera.
Just have a camera. Yeah, it's just that simple. But this episode, we're talking about BC Bombshells.
Yes.
What is BC Bombshells?
BC Bombshells is a magazine that Heather and I have created that focuses on basically everything pinup. So from pinup designers, pinup photographers, pinup models, jewelers, anything to do with the pinup industry. We like to feature artists and have them showcase their work.
So the pinup industry, is there an industry? Because pinup, what is pinup, first of all? I think Betty Grable, I think the side of World War II airplanes.
Yeah, no, that's about right. There is a huge community of pinup. Actually, in next month in Las Vegas, there's what they call Viva Las Vegas, and girls from everywhere, all over the world, come to compete in their contests for pageants, bathing suits. There's vendors. There's the Roadman Car Club. They come from all over. Photographers. There's Dita Von Teese there as well. So there is a huge community of pinup and rockabilly.
And so what, I mean, this kind of got its start. Pinup kind of got its, like, it was this heyday in the 30s, the 40s, 50s.
Mm-hmm.
What has caused the resurgence? And when did the resurgence start?
I think it was several years ago when a lot of the girls, a lot of the photographers, they wanted that vintage look, something that was kind of missing with glammed up, classy, not so much skin constantly. I think that's what one of the big things was it was somewhere where girls can look beautiful and classy and, you know, in this day of the internet where it seems like it's more skin, mm-hmm. This for the most part is a little bit less skin, but still beautiful, classy, you know, celebrating women. And I think that's kind of where it sort of got the resurgence.
It's more about the art, whether it comes to the makeup or the photography.
Definitely, definitely. And that's what we wanted to do, is showcase that. And every month what we have done is featured a pinup photographer. So we get to send them or talk to them an interview of a bunch of questions, which can be as simple as, why do you like this, to what kind of gear do you use, what kind of lighting do you use. And it's very interesting to see these photographers get excited that somebody is looking at their work, somebody's interested in their work, and being able to see themselves in print, which is kind of a lost art form.
So how long ago did you start the magazine?
This, we're into this, we've just released our sixth issue. So we're monthly, and like I say, we're six issues in, and it's just gaining in popularity. The first issue was, I think, 32 pages, and now we're having to limit it to about 56 pages.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's that's pretty fast growth. That's fantastic.
No, definitely. And I think that the people have that have sort of gotten on board with us have seen the like I say, the sort of, it's a, the print is a lost art form. And when they see themselves in print, it's quite fascinating to be able to see yourself on a cover or in the pages of a print magazine. It sort of lends some credibility to whatever you're doing is pretty cool, instead of just having another picture on Facebook.
I think what it is, sorry, I think what it is too is a pinup model is not your average size zero walk-in catwalk there in Paris. Most pinup models are curvier, so more on the plus size. So this is more of a way for the girls in that genre to come out and showcase that you don't have to be a stick to be gorgeous.
That's what I noticed. I saw your last three issues, and that's one of the things that you really take away, is that there are really all kinds of girls in the magazine. Different ages. The age range is pretty wide.
Yeah.
Different sizes, different looks. That's kind of attractive on its own.
Oh, for sure, for sure. So this whole girls who want to model and are not 5'10" and 100 pounds, this is where they're going, is the pinup way. And I mean, now too, in modern day, like in 2017, when you're looking at all the girls who are the big icons right now, you got the Ashley Graham, the Amber Rose, the Kardashians, all these girls are all curvy and voluptuous. Mm-hmm. As what they were back in like the 50s, when you think of Marilyn Monroe, right? She was no stick figure, you know, like she was a size 16, right? So this is where I think it's gaining more of the popularity. Everyone wants to have that hourglass figure. Sofia Vergara, you know, like everyone wants to look like Jessica Rabbit at the end of the day, right?
And so this magazine, it's available in print and online, or just in print?
No, both. We've offered it online as well, because we do realize that some people are still want that instant gratification. So if they purchase something, mm-hmm. they want to be able to grab their iPad and flip through it right away. They don't want to wait for it to come in the mail like we used to have to do with our subscriptions. So I think some people, you know, we have to cater to allowing them to, you know, purchase it, download it, and flip through it right away to see themselves.
That is kind of the, I call it the sad reality. I'm a big fan of the tactile, you know, a book or a magazine. I like having it, but living over here in Germany, that makes it really difficult for a lot of things.
Absolutely, yeah. And that was one of the things that we thought about when starting this, was how to produce this, print it, and then logistically have it to people. So we've partnered with a company that is a print-on-demand service. So we don't physically carry any of the copies of the print issues. That you go online, you purchase it, it gets printed and shipped to you. And that way we can service the entire world. We don't have to worry about our sleepy little post office getting stuff out. It's done and gets shipped direct to them.
No, that's a great mix of the technology and the old school, which is kind of what I noticed in the photos, is there is a real mix of well, old-timey stuff mixed with sort of new techniques and new looks on the models. For example, I don't remember Marilyn Monroe having any tattoos.
No, absolutely. And that's where I think the, as Heather said, the sort of the pinup and rockabilly, which is almost a subculture of the pinup, is basically heavily tattooed girls, and they still want to have that pinup look. Mm-hmm. So having both of those together is quite cool that you can have this variation where it's not just the one sort of genre.
And one of the other things I noticed is that the terms of the style, it kind of bounces around a little bit. Like there are, you definitely see the retro look to it, you know, in the hair and the makeup, but there are some, I would say, sort of newer photo techniques that you're incorporating.
Absolutely. And some of the photographers that we featured are very classically trained and want to stick to that sort of mindset with the, you know, the 3-point lighting with very high lights. And then there's other ones that are using, you know, beauty dishes and grids in this and going into sort of newer photo techniques. That is very cool to see them using these new techniques to put their own spin on something, which really sort of lends itself to being an artist again instead of just somebody that knows how to operate a camera.
And I noticed in yours, like your photos in particular, because you shoot for the magazine as well?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I knew that. I wanted to make sure the listeners knew that. Specifically, the white cyclorama shots, like they're fantastic, but if you compare them to the technology, you know, from 70 years ago, they still shot that kind of stuff, but it wasn't as crisp.
No, definitely, and that's what, you know, the equipment nowadays, the knowledge that we have nowadays, the ability to experiment, which is, you know, one of the key things with photography. When we used to shoot film, you would be using any kind of studio strobe and you'd take a photo and then you'd have to develop it and wait and wait and wait and then try to remember what you did for that photo. It's very difficult to come up with new techniques, where now with digital, and I'm sure that all the listeners know, you can try something and even if you fail at it, well, you know immediately what didn't work and what did work. Mm-hmm. And it makes it fantastic. So it allows you that flexibility to try new things. And it's, I think it's just fantastic that people are trying new things with this same style.
And so, Heather, how did you find your way into this genre?
I think I just kind of fell into it, to be honest. I come from... Well, I used to be quite heavy, and I've lost over 100 pounds. So I used to do modeling on, like, the plus size and then kind of fell out of it. And then now being on the thinner side, but
you
not...
You say minus size.
Yeah, the size that I am now. I'm every size known to man, apparently. I just kind of... I don't know. I like it. I'm not a... well, what do you want to, I don't know how to say it nicely, right? Like, I'm not a stick and I'm not 20.
Right.
So I'm never going to be, you know, one of the up and coming models. So for me, doing pinup is exactly where I fit into.
And so your role at the magazine, you are the president?
Yeah. President, co-founder. I scout, I do all the PR, try to find the girls. In Canada, it's kind of a small circle, but Finland, the States, Australia, pinup's really big. So I talk to a lot of people that I don't know.
Great. And also, you're in the magazine, I notice.
Yes. Yes, I'm the house girl at least once a month. I'm in there.
Great. And so Dwayne, I mean, we know your basic background with, you know, how you shot. How did you get into the pinup part of it?
You know, pinup is something I've always really liked. And there's a few photographers locally that I've always kind of admired and thought that their work was fantastic. On the island, on Vancouver Island, Randy Allen is absolutely amazing at what he does. And I've always really liked the stuff he does and kind of tried to emulate a few of the techniques that he uses when I see him release new photos. So just being able to sort of have that sort of creative outlet has been fantastic, rather than just, you know, commercial headshots is quite very similar every time, right? Everybody wants a great headshot, and the lighting situations are very similar. Everything, sort of nothing really changes except the person in front of the camera. This way we get to be able to put a ton of variations on things, come up with some different ideas. One of the things I actually enjoy is shopping and shopping for things at thrift stores that are, you know, vintage 1940s and 50s is very cool. And some of the people that I've met through this have been some of the coolest people ever. We saw an ad on Craigslist for a fellow that was selling some vintage furniture, and we went over to his house, and it was straight out of a scene from Mad Men. It was everything in his house was all vintage, and talking to him and seeing his love for this stuff is quite it's just really refreshing that somebody can still like this old time stuff instead of, you know, us trying to be all minimalistic and walking with our iPads and that, you know.
Right. Did you end up shooting at his place?
No, we didn't. He was moving. So we didn't get to shoot at his place, but you know, there's been some cool spots where we've noticed, and some very cool locations that we think we're going to shoot at coming up.
What makes for a cool location?
I think a cool location has to sort of have that vibe. I think anything with, you know, the old tiled floors, anything with a lot of, it's just like, you know, bathtubs, cast iron tubs is just amazing. Anything with that, you know, tiles, actual old looking like subway tiles, that kind of things, just makes it really kind of lends itself to a really a 40s and 50s look, and I think is fantastic.
Are there still diners around?
There's three that I know of in the Lower Mainland. That's all there is.
And they're always busy because they're filming movies.
Yeah. Right,
one,
right.
One
right.
of them is in Fort Langley, and it's like that. One is in Mission, and I think they film Riverside or something there, and then there's a Riverdale, and then there's one in Maple Ridge as well. But they're always quite busy because it's always booked with production companies.
Sure, I think there's zero here in Germany. It's not really a thing. not really nostalgic about that era so much over here.
No, I guess not.
Yeah, every day is forget day.
Yeah.
So. What components go into, like, because it's like we touched on earlier, it's not just the model or the style of photography. There's a lot of components coming together to make this pinup look. What are some of those components?
Clothes, purses, nylons, undergarments, corsets, oh gosh, shoes. Hair, makeup. You need to have the right hair and makeup girl because not everyone can do pinup. It's more than just trying to put your hair up and throw a flower in it. There is a big backstory behind it. And if you don't have the right makeup artist, you won't have the good pictures. Oh my God, the clothes. there's so much. There is so much that goes into it that someone may not really think it's all that hard, but it is.
What sort of attitude in a model would you say is best suited to this style?
Oh, anyone fun, happy. I think the more popular is what we call the cheesecake, right? Like the Marilyn Monroe pretty girl with the bottle of Coca-Cola in their hand, right? Like you want to think happy and life's Pleasantville. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably like the best way to describe it.
Yeah. And the clothing is a huge industry right now. There's a big resurgence in that. There's in Vancouver, there's two big shops that kind of lend itself best to that industry. Both are downtown. One is just outside of Gastown, and it's New World Boutique, and they deal mainly with the reproduction outfits. Mm-hmm. And then up the road on Main Street is Scout Boutique, and they deal a ton with the actual vintage outfits. So these are actual clothes that have been around since the 40s and 50s, and a lot of the girls, they can spend upwards of $300 on one dress. So once they've put that kind of investment into something, it's I always think it's imperative to make sure that you capture a photo correctly, and the photos do everything justice that everyone puts into.
And the models you work with, what sort of skill level do they come in with?
You know, that really varies. A lot of the time they're absolute beginners, and they see this as they wanted to do some modeling maybe when they were younger. And this is the time for them to give it a try. And so some of them have absolutely zero experience in front of a camera. And then there's other ones that are very, very experienced and have years of experience. And maybe they have done some, you know, some print work or some catalog work, and now they're at the point in their careers where they just want to have some fun, and this is where they've found to be fun instead of so much work.
So what I'm hearing is, if you're even considering doing this, just get out there and do it. Get in touch with Dwayne, or if you're you know, in some far flung place, find a photographer, get involved, do it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I mean, you can, you know, get in touch, the best way, and I'm so terrible on social medias, that getting in touch with Heather at, you know, on Instagram, we'll have the link there. Get in touch with her, and she can steer you in the right direction. She has a ton of contacts in a ton of different countries that she might be able to point you in the right direction just to try it. And it's so much fun. Everybody that we've met in this industry has been so good and so much fun.
And we will post a link to the Instagram, but Heather, what's your name on there?
Mine is Heather_Ann_pinup.
Okay. So I urge everyone to go and check that out. I'm going to add you on Instagram in a couple minutes, of course. So go check that out. And how do people find the magazine if they want to order it?
The magazine, they can go to bcbombshells.com, and from there you can click on the magazine link, and you can order it direct from there.
And you're always looking for photographer submissions as well?
Photographer submissions, makeup artists, designers, anybody that is remotely involved with the pinup industry. Even if it's a photographer that's only done a few pinup sessions, we just encourage them to send in, go to the website, it's got all the little details on how to submit, and, you know, let's get them seeing themselves in print.
That sounds great. Everybody, go check it out. So, Dwayne and Heather, thanks a lot for coming on.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And we're back.
Yeah.
There it was.
Pin-up.
Pin-up cheesecake. No, that's what it's called, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cheesecake. Oh. You've never heard that?
No.
Yeah. It really is a very cool sort of genre. And because I didn't do the interview just this second, I did it earlier and plugged it in. I don't remember if we talked about me going to that car race in England where the first time I went, it was the historics race, where it's all the old-timey stuff.
Right.
There were a number of women sort of dressed up in that pin-up sort of style, like, what do you call it, like an airline stewardess style, like all those kinds, like kind of style, getting their picture taken on these old World War II airplanes. And it was and so I kind of stole a couple of photos, like walked around during a couple of photo shoots with like some guy was shooting some cheesecake shots, and I snapped a couple just behind his back, like, yeah, I'm gonna grab these. He didn't seem to care, but it was really, really cool. So this is a really an amazing kind of thing that's yeah, of course it's catching on. You know, retro's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
So anyways, I will post all the links to the website where you can find out where you can find the magazine, but I urge you to check it out. At least do yourself a favor, check it out on the digital, if not the actual print, the hard copy.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right.
Photo challenge.
Challenge for next month, as we said, is window light. However, this week, we have a weekly challenge that's coming up, and I'm guessing you have 5 or 6 to choose from.
Yeah.
Zero? Still zero,
Well, if you give me 5 or 6, then I'll choose.
All right. How about movement?
No, thank you. What else you got? Wait.
No, that was it. That was the one. I'm not even asking you. I'm telling you. It's... Okay, action?
Is action sure, better? Yeah, I like action.
You know, I guess movement does sound like a watch.
Yeah. Action. Yeah.
Action is better. I've probably done action.
No, I don't think we've ever done action.
No?
Nope.
All right. Well, this week we shall.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Besides that, Adam, websites. Where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and Two Hosers Instagram.
Oh, it's just you're flooding it.
It's blowing up.
Yeah, but you have your own Instagram, though.
Oh, I thought...
Don't you have Adam Hoser's Instagram?
Something like that, yeah.
Google it, everybody. Yeah. You'll find it. Yeah, meanwhile...
Adam Two Hosers, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, meanwhile, check out my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.